There's a story I once heard. Maybe you've heard this. There's two men. Their job was solely to chop wood. That's all they had to do all day. And each of them was given a quota each day of the wood that they had to chop. Okay. And they worked hard and until noon. And then at noon, the one lumberjack left for 2 hours while the other decided to keep on working. But every day, the man who took his break finished with his full quota of work done an hour and a half before the other guy. Now, this would bother the man who seemingly worked harder and longer. And finally, he asked the man as he was leaving one day, he said, "Every day, come on, man, we start the same time. We have the same amount of wood to cut. You disappear for 2 hours in the middle of that day, and yet you finish sooner than I do. What gives?" And the man replied, "Those 2 hours I'm gone, I'm not taking a break. I'm sharpening my axe." Now, I know you're like, where's that going with Matt? What we're doing this fall as a congregation is, in a sense, sharpening our collective axe. We are taking some time to look at the fundamental theological beliefs of the Christian faith that we follow. Okay? And for those of you just joining us today, this fall, we're working our way through our statement of faith as a church, making sure that we know all together what we believe and why, and why we're following that. And so today we're going to look at the church and answer the question, what is the church? Now, I'm excited to talk with you about this. You see, I love God's church. I love being able to be a part of God's church and be able to serve in God's church with you. It is a true joy in my life. I learned the joy of being a part of God's church as a young kid and teen growing up at my church in Brampton. I had the opportunity to be involved in serving at my church, even with my mom and my dad. And more so, even into my teen years, I got to serve with my youth pastor. I had the opportunity to serve in overseas missions as a youth and as an adult. And God has really opened my eyes over and over again to what he is doing, but not just here locally, but globally, in his church, in his local churches around the world. And it is such an awesome privilege to see God working, to see God doing change in people's lives, and to see that at work. It's a real blessing. Now, this morning, as we get into looking at the church and what is the church, I want to read for you our statement on the church from our statement of faith, what we believe here at Trendside. Now, this is a big one, so follow along as I go through it, okay? This is what our statement on the church says. We believe that the universal church, the body of Christ, is comprised of all true believers in heaven and on earth, is expressed on earth in local churches. We believe a properly ordered local church consists of believers baptized by immersion who have been called out from the world, separated to the Lord Jesus, and voluntarily associated for the ministry of the word, the mutual edification of its members, the propagation of the faith, the observance of the ordinances, and the doing of good works. We believe it is a self-governing body responsible for exercising its own divinely awarded gifts, precepts, and privileges under the lordship of Christ, the head and the chief shepherd of the church. We believe that its officers are biblically qualified elders who shepherd and oversee God's flock and deacons who serve and support. Okay, that's the church, all right? Now, as other statements, other aspects of our statement of faith, they all have scriptures that point to these statements for us and help us guide in making these statements about what we believe. And so here on the screen are some of the passages from the Bible that go over this and help us to create this kind of a statement of what we believe the church to be. If you'd like a copy of those after the service, I can give them to you. It'd be my pleasure. But let's focus in on one of those. It's in Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41 this morning. And as we come to God's word, let's just pray. Would you bow your heads with me? God, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. We've been singing about your goodness, God, this morning, and your goodness is shown to us clearly through your word. And we thank you that we can open it together, read from it together, be encouraged, challenged by your word, God. So bless our time in your scriptures right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 41, Let's hear the word of the Lord. It says, so those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And so the first question we're asking this morning, or looking at this morning, is what is the church? I mean, where did it come from? Whose idea was it? Well, the answer to all those questions comes back to one person, Jesus. The church exists to glorify Jesus Christ. The church is founded by Jesus. But what is the church? Well, let me tell you what it's not first. Let's get that out of the way. The church is not a place. The church is not a building. It's not a sermon point. It's not a spiritual service provider. It is a people. It is the new covenant bought by the blood of Jesus, people of God. It's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He didn't give himself up for a place. He didn't go to the cross for a place, but for a people. And the church is a people. It's not a place or a statistic. All those who place their faith in Jesus Christ are immediately brought into the one united spiritual body, the church. We are united with Christ, who is the head of the church. Now, the church is designed by Christ, made up of all born-again believers from the past and the present. And you may be here asking, well, how do I become part of the church? Well, it is through genuine repentance, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, accepting that free gift of salvation that Jesus offers us. It means to recognize your sin and that there's no hope of salvation outside of Jesus. It means to repent of your sin, meaning turn from your sin, follow Christ, turn in faith to Jesus, trust in his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection from the dead as your only hope. This is the means of salvation, the only means of salvation, and this is the way to be part of the family of God, the church family. Now, when we come to faith in Christ, Scripture says several things happen instantaneously. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We are united to Christ by faith. We are adopted into the family of God, and we are placed into the spiritual family that is the church. And it's a wonderful thing, and we praise God for it. And there is a unity here that we all share by virtue of being united with Christ by faith. A unity we share with believers worldwide. You go, when you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go anywhere in this world. And when you meet another believer, you instantly have something in common with that person, even though you may have just met them. You are united with them by faith in Christ. Now, this is what we call the universal church, and this is what we read in our statement. This is around the world, other believers that we come in contact with. But it's not the only way that Scripture uses the word church. The word church is also used many times to speak of the local church. Now, some might argue, well, hey, I'm saved. I put my faith in Jesus. That's enough, right? I mean, is there a need for a local church? We're all a part of the universal church. Do I really need to go to church or be a part of a local church? And the reality is that most of the uses of the word church in the New Testament refer to a specific local assembly. There are clearly places where the universal church is spoken of in Scripture, particularly in the book of Ephesians. But most references, and especially in the rest of the epistles, whenever the word church is used, it's in reference to a local church. Now, the New Testament clearly speaks to the establishment and the continuity of the local churches. It's everywhere in the New Testament. The New Testament has no category for a believer who is not in regular fellowship with a local church, except for the most extreme circumstances where maybe a believer is in prison or a believer is living in a country where you're on your own as a believer. Not only does Scripture speak of the local church, but we have passages in Scripture that command us to assemble with other believers. Passages like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, where it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now this passage, in speaking about the church, never implies a single Lone Ranger Christian going about their Christian duties. Never gathering together to worship with other believers. It doesn't speak of that. The church, by its very nature, is multiple believers gathered together. Attending church is both biblical and is a historical pattern that is set forth for us by the first followers of Jesus. We learn in the book of Acts, like we just read, how they would get together regularly. They would have times of worship together. They would do this even daily. They would get together in each other's homes. In the apostles' letters that we read in the New Testament, they were sent to these church communities, and they would be read aloud together. One commentator I came across this week said it this way. He said, "Scripture is clear that we cannot claim allegiance to Jesus and remain indifferent or hostile or uncommitted to the church of Jesus, the people of Jesus. We show our love for Christ and our devotion to Christ by loving the people of Christ." Now, as we read in our passage from Acts earlier, the church gathered together to worship, to fellowship, and for discipling one another. Worship, fellowship, discipleship. Now, worship can include singing, like we've done together this morning. And it includes also, though, silent reflection. Worship includes prayer, scripture reading, giving of our offerings and our tithes for God's work. But worship also involves times where we come together for communion or teaching and the preaching of God's word. Worship also involves serving others, serving in the community, serving at church. It includes evangelism. All of these are acts of worship. Worship is about God, not us. And fellowship in the church. It's about relationship and partnership with fellow believers, where we share, we contribute, we work together with each other in the family of God. And as we accomplish our mission, the Acts 2 passage we read shows this kind of fellowship. Craig Rochelle, he's a pastor down in the States, he once said this. He said, "There is nothing better to worship God together, to be committed to worship Him together, to hear His word together. Do not reduce the church to listening to a podcast. It's so much more than that. It's community. It's worshiping with others, praying for others, hurting with others, serving others, being involved in the lives of others." So not only are we to be committed to the Word of God, but we are to share a commitment with each other. If we're to look through the New Testament, we can find a number of commands that govern how we as believers in the local church should be relating to each other, how you and I are to relate to each other. We are to love each other. We're to care for each other. We're to forgive each other, encourage each other, edify, exhort, admonish, and pray for one another. God did not design the church to be a group of people who show up for some songs on a Sunday morning, hear the pastor, do a sermon, and then leave without talking to anyone. That is not what church is to be. We're to be engaging with one another. We're to be a community who is committed to one another. I am to have your back, and you are to have my back. We are to encourage each other in growing to be more and more like Christ, to be growing more and more in our spiritual maturity. You and I together, and you amongst each other. That's the church. And yes, the church has a mission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 gives us our mission. Jesus said to the disciples and to us, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now everything regarding the church centers around Jesus and the mission that he's given us. We cannot carry on as a church without making this portion of Scripture a key focus and a purpose for us. This is the commission that Jesus has given us. He's given the church. And this mission and purpose is what the church and family are to be unified towards and around together. And only when we are unified in this will we be able to accomplish that mission together that is set before us, the mission to make disciples of Jesus. Now, as a church at Trendside, we do this here in a variety of different ways. In reaching those who don't know Jesus, don't know God's word at all, we do this in living life and demonstrating our faith to our family, be it to our coworkers, our schoolmates, those we just meet in the community, our neighbors, our family. We witness to others by serving, caring for others in need. We do this as we build up and encourage fellow believers in their walk with God and their growing in God. We do this, for example, with our kids' ministries and youth ministry here at the church. We also, with our Canada Day and Santa Day opportunities, seek to reach out to the community, to serve them, and to show we love and care about them and want them to know Jesus too. We also support our local food bank, like we're talking about with Catch Sunday. There are those in need in our community. We can help them. And then there's the Kawartha Pregnancy Center that we support here as a church, because, again, there are people in need. We want to help. And then we also have the benevolence that we use to help, and we give to those in need in our community. Then we have ministries like men's and women's Bible studies and their events like the pizza night and women's Christmas event and spring event. We have Grief Share. We have Color Your Word. We have the Men's Church Hockey League. And in these and many other ways, we seek to proclaim the good news of Jesus. We seek to have more and more people know who Jesus is, who maybe didn't know who he was before, and to come to faith and put their come to faith and accept the gift of salvation. We want to build up and strengthen believers and help each other grow in maturity. And so we as a church, we also support missions locally and globally. We had Laura and Andrew come and share that this morning. They are an example of how we support missions, both here and beyond, around our world, to go out into our world and proclaim Christ. They are an extension of the local church. And God intends for the church to be a group of people called out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has blessed us so much. And not only do we receive the gift of salvation, but we also receive the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit, who gives us each different spiritual gifts. To each and every member of the church, each and every believer in Christ receives spiritual gifts as the body of Christ. And the spiritual gifts as a believer receives, they're given by God for the good of the church body, and they are to be used for God's glory to point people to Jesus. Every believer has spiritual gifts. Every believer is to use them for God and for his glory. Every believer with their gifts has a role to play in the local church. And when you are not using the gifts that God has given you as a believer in Christ, then that body of believers that you are a part of, that church you are a part of, if you're not using your gifts, that church suffers. We at Trendside suffer if you are not using your spiritual gifts here. We cannot function to our full potential. This is why God uses the analogy of the body in relation to the church in Scripture. Think of how our own bodies, we are suffering or not running at full potential if we are dealing with an ailment or we threw our back out, broke our toe, lost our toe. We can't function to our full potential of what God originally designed us to be. The church is the same. God has blessed us with talents and abilities and gifts to be able to serve and grow his church and proclaim his name. That is why we talk here at Trendside about needing your help. We want to help see you using your gifts for God's glory. Be it on like a cleanup day like we had yesterday, or serving in a ministry here on Sunday morning or through the week in the greater life of this church, serving others in the community, helping those in need. That is what we are to be doing with our gifts. And when we're not, we're failing. Now, there are some who look at the role of someone like me as a pastor of the church and say, well, no, that's the pastor's job. He does the ministry. We just receive it. That's not what Scripture teaches at all. You can look at a passage like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, where we're taught that the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, meaning the whole church is supposed to be engaged in the ministry, in ministering to one another, in seeking to proclaim Jesus in this world. We are all to be involved. We all have a role to play. You have a role to play. And if you're a follower in Jesus and you're not playing your role, you are failing. Now, our statement also speaks to two ordinances that are given to the church by Jesus that we are to practice. They are baptism and communion. Now, we're going to look at these a little closer in the coming weeks, so I'm just going to touch on them a little bit today, okay? But as we read earlier from Matthew, part of Jesus' commission to us was to baptize believers. And so here at Trendside, we do practice believers' baptism. To baptize means to immerse in water. When someone has accepted Christ and they can speak on their own to their understanding of who Christ is and their accepting of his gift of salvation and putting their faith in Jesus, then they can choose to follow Jesus' command and be baptized. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward spiritual truth. Okay? Baptism symbolizes a believer's union with Christ in his death and resurrection to new life. The second ordinance that is given to the church to practice is that of communion. And we do this each month together where we come to the Lord's table together. And communion is a practice that Jesus started with the disciples, and he's commanded that we carry on until he comes again. And it signifies our ongoing fellowship with Christ, our constant proclamation of the message of Jesus' death and resurrection. And when we practice communion together as a church, the elements that we use, the bread and the juice, they remind us how Jesus died for us and the forgiveness that we receive because of his body and blood that went to the cross for our sin. He took our punishment on the cross for us. Jesus took our place. And so we take time to remember that. And in time of communion, it's a reflective and yet praiseworthy time where we engage in reminding ourselves of that gift of salvation, reminding us of Jesus' return that is coming. And communion is also a practice that continues to help maintain unity in the church. Because when we gather together to take part in communion, we are to examine ourselves, make sure we come before God with the right heart, attitude, with the right mindset, that we deal with any sin in our life and disunity before taking part. Now, one other element I want to just touch on quickly that is also mentioned at the end of our statement is that of church leadership. And this is how a biblical church has godly leaders. See, our church uses a system of organization, leadership, and decision-making that Scripture teaches us through books like the book of Acts, Ephesians, the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Books like 1 Timothy and even the book of Titus even help to provide a list of qualifications that leaders in the church must meet. And so church leaders help to guide and to direct the church, both spiritually as well as protecting the church from false teaching. We want to keep the church theologically sound. We want to keep straight to God's word and not veering off to any science or false teaching. As a local church, we are responsible to make sure that we stay biblically founded, that we stay true to Scripture. And here at Trendside, we put ourselves also not only under the accountability of biblical leadership, but also under the accountability of an association of churches that we are a part of, both to keep us accountable, but also to support us. And so here at Trendside, we are part of the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches of Canada. Now, I've covered a lot this morning. And some of you are like, yeah, you have. As we come to a close, I just want to read our statement again with you and see where some of this all comes together again. Let me read it for you. We believe that the universal church, the body of Christ, comprised of all true believers in heaven and on earth, is expressed on earth in local churches. We believe a properly ordered local church consists of believers baptized by immersion who have been called out from the world, separated to the Lord Jesus, and voluntarily associated for the ministry of the world, the mutual edification of its members, the propagation of faith, the observance of the ordinances, and the doing of good works. We believe it is a self-governing body, responsible for exercising its own divinely awarded gifts, precepts, and privileges under the Lordship of Christ, the head and chief shepherd of the church. We believe that its officers are biblically qualified elders who shepherd and oversee God's flock and deacons who serve and support. Now again, this is a big statement, But folks, this is the church. This is the church. And God blesses us so much to be a part of his church, to be a part of his universal church, and to be a part of his local church. And God calls us to be a part of a local church. We are meant not to just come in and take in and then leave. We are to be a participating member of God's church here together. And if you're new here and you're just checking out Christianity, or you're new and you just started coming to our church, please hear me. We are glad that you are here. Please keep coming. Keep learning. We are so thankful that you're here. We love having you here. But if you are a believer in Jesus, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you've been here for a while, and all you do is come on a Sunday and leave, you are missing out on the full experience of what the church is. You are missing out on the experience of the church that God has given you. You are not following God's command. You're missing out. God has called you to something awesome. He blesses you with the opportunity of being a part of his church. Don't miss out. And not only are you not following God's command, but we as Trendside, we suffer. We suffer if you are not here and connected and involved, because you're meant to be. And at the beginning of this morning, I shared about sharpening the axe. And in Proverbs 27, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's a great passage. But what does it mean? It means you and I are to be helping each other. That's the way the church is meant to be. We help each other. We're to strengthen each other. We are to be gathered together and in fellowship together, worshiping God, being the church of Jesus, discipling one another, pushing each other on. And it's clear from cover to cover of the Bible that the Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God has created the church for us? That we can be together, we can grow together, we can thrive and live life to the full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you that we get to be blessed by the opportunity of being a part of your church, God. That we can know your gift of salvation. That we can encourage one another. We can worship you, God, our great creator. But that we can then work together in proclaiming this good news to others who don't know it. So, Lord, thank you for your church. May we be good stewards of the gifts and abilities that you've given us in life and of the time you give us, Lord, to be your church, to proclaim your name, and to bring you glory. Amen.